After all, Jesus did that. He used illustrations from everyday life to make his points, like salt and lamps and sheep and stories about ordinary people. Now, Disney's classics, like all great art, speak to the human condition, showing in a way that we can all identify with it, a way that resonates. It speaks about what people are like, struggles we face as humans, about life. Disney speaks to the human condition. The gospel is God's response to the human condition. So for a few weeks this fall, we're going to use some of Disney as illustrations for what life is like. And each time we're going to see how the gospel is God's answer. Now we're borrowing some of these ideas from Adam Hamilton, the pastor at the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City. We're using his resources like the GPS insert in your bulletins. Take that out. The GPS, grow, pray, serve. In your bulletin, and there's some spots there to make some notes for the things you're gonna take with you, and then you can use that for every day this week coming up for your devotions. Now, Aladdin came out in 1992. Julie mentioned she was in what, in junior high? That's 22 years ago. And that year, it was the highest-grossing animated film of all time, and still to this day ranks third. Behind Lion King, and now number one is Frozen. Yeah. Aladdin won two Oscars for its score. Won songs like A Whole New World that we heard earlier. The movie itself is based on a Middle Eastern tradition of legends collected in what's called 1001 Arabian Nights. But this is generously interpreted by Disney. Aladdin is an orphan living on the street with his monkey friend, Abu. And you first see him in the market in tattered clothes, stealing from vendors. So you want to judge him. Street riffraff, right? That's the word. But be careful. What you're actually seeing, the movie's trying to show you, is a diamond in the rough, not cleaned up yet. He steals some food and runs to elude the police. When he finally gets to settle down in a corner to eat his food, he hasn't eaten for a long time, he looks out and sees two younger kids going through garbage. Again, obviously street kids, hungry. Aladdin goes over and gives them his food. And just then a pompous prince comes through on his way to the palace to go woo the princess. And the horse nearly runs over those two little kids. But Aladdin jumps in and rescues them just in time. And at that moment, a very crucial exchange takes place, making you wonder, what do you see when you see Aladdin?
On his way to the palace, I suppose.
Another suitor for the princess.
Out of my way, you filthy brat!
If I were as rich as you, I could afford some manners.
Oh, I'll teach you some manners!
Look at that, Abu. It's not every day you see a horse with two rear ends.
You are a worthless street rat. You were born a street rat. You'll die a street rat. And only your fleas will mourn you.
I'm not worthless. And I don't have fleas. Come on, Abu. Let's go home.
Riff raff, street rat, I don't buy that. If only they'd look closer, would they see a poor boy? No siree.
They'd find out there's so much more to me.
Someday, Abu, things are gonna change. We'll be rich, live in a palace, and never have any problems at all.
So, is Aladdin worthless? Just a street rat? Huh. How about that prince? He seems to be no good. But Aladdin, you can see not what is, but can you see what could be? Can you see the potential? Can you see him as a diamond in the rough? God sees people that way, you know. God doesn't look on the outside. God sees the inside. In the Bible, back in 1 Samuel 16, is a story that actually happened. God sends his prophet, Samuel, to go anoint the next king. So he goes to Bethlehem, the home of Jesse, and asks to see Jesse's sons so he can anoint one of them as the next king. The oldest comes first, big, strong, handsome, skilled, certainly king material there, Samuel thinks. But God whispers in his ear, not this one. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have not chosen him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Next son, the same thing. Six sons. Finally comes to the youngest, little David. Didn't look like much, but God knew his heart and chose him. God sees not what you've been or what you even look like today. God sees what you can be. God chose Moses, the stutterer, Esther, the beauty queen, the crude disciples, all to change the world. Another true story. One time a farmer in Scotland named Fleming saw a boy sinking in a bog on his property. He went over and rescued him from a slow and terrible death. The next day, the boy's father came by, a rich nobleman, to repay the generosity with his generosity, the farmer who rescued his boy. Wouldn't take anything. Then the farmer's boy came by, and the rich nobleman sized up and looked him over, had an idea. He said, let's strike a deal then. I will give your boy the same education as mine, because I see that a son of yours must have great potential. The farmer's boy eventually graduated from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School in London. And sure enough, came to be known throughout the world as Sir Alexander Fleming, the discoverer of penicillin. Ironically, years later, the man who'd been stuck as a boy in the bog became deathly sick with pneumonia and was saved by penicillin. Again, twice saved by the Fleming family. The boy's name? Sir Winston Churchill. His father saw something of potential in the farmer's son and invested in it. Encouraged it. Here's the first of my three main points. We are all Aladdin. We're all diamonds in the rough. God sees you not for what you've been or even what you are right now. God sees what you could be. He sees in you his workmanship. God wants to use you to do amazing things. You are a gem. But God is like an ore evaluator, can see you in this state, but in his mind can see the cut, polished version someday. What ways are you investing in diamonds in the rough around you? Okay, time for some plot. Right? One day Aladdin sees a beautiful girl roaming the streets and immediately falls in love in a Hollywood way. But he doesn't know that it's Jasmine the princess.
Pretty lady, buy a pot. No finer pot in brass or silk.
Sugar dates and figs, sugar dates and pistachios.
Would the lady like a necklace? A pretty necklace for a pretty lady.
Fresh fish! We catch them, you buy them!
No, I don't think so. Excuse me. I'm really very sorry.
Wow. There you go, Julie. Wow.
Hello. Oh, you must be hungry. Here you go.
You'd better be able to pay for that.
Pay?
No one steals from my cart.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I don't have any money.
Oh,
please, if you let me go to the palace, I could get some from the Sultan.
Do you know what the penalty is for stealing?
No, no, please.
Oh, thank you, kind sir. I'm so glad you found me. I've been looking all over for you.
What are you doing?
Just play along.
You, know this girl?
Sadly, yes. She is my sister. She's a little crazy.
She said she knew the Sultan.
She thinks the monkey is the Sultan.
Oh, wise Sultan, how may I serve you?
Tragic, isn't it? But no harm done. Now come along, sis. Time to go see the doctor.
Oh, hello, doctor. How are you?
No, 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 not that one. Come on, Sultan.
What is this? Come back here, you little thief!
Well, Aladdin and Jasmine spend the day together, and Jasmine begins to have feelings for this strange boy. There's a problem, for Jasmine has to marry a prince. Aladdin now needs to become a prince. Side plot. The Sultan's advisor, Jafar, is bad news. He's conspiring to take over the kingdom. He manipulates Aladdin into the Cave of Wonders to get a magic lamp. At the last second, Jafar tricks Aladdin, but Aladdin, in exchange, still gets the lamp back. He rubs the lamp, and kapow, out comes the genie, right? And the genie offers him 3 wishes, anything he wants. The genie is played by Robin Williams, who recently just passed away a couple weeks ago. And this scene now is classic Robin Williams.
Master! I don't think you quite realize what you've got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities? Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tails. But Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. Some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, kazam! Job, you and how, say all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say,
Mr. Lanza, what will your pleasure be?
Let me take your order, jot it down.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
Here's your restaurant and
I'm your maitre d'.
Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service.
You're the boss, the king, the Shah. Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. As I'm a column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. Mama. No, no. Can your friends do this? Can your friends do that? Can your friends pull this
out their little hat?
Can your friends go?
Hey, looky here. Uh-huh.
Can your friends go abracadabra? Let it rip! And then make the sucker disappear. Don't you sit there, slap your bony hide. I'm here to answer all your business. You got me bona fides,
Missteps 3 miles long, no doubt. Well, all you gotta do is grab that sword. Mr. Aladdin, sir, has a free shot, 2 or 3. I'm on the jump.
You big nay, Bob.
You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend.
So Aladdin can have whatever he wants, right? So what does he want most? Jasmine. He wants to be able to marry Jasmine. He needs then to become a prince. So he uses his first wish to make him a prince. Now Aladdin isn't prince by birth, but the genie gives him all the stuff to make him look like a prince. Wardrobe, riches, servants, money, you name it. But it doesn't work. Jasmine isn't attracted to all that stuff. After all, she already has it, right? She wants a person who sees her for who she is. When they were on the street together, they fell in love with just the way they were. He, however, is still trying to think he has to have the stuff that he never had to impress her. He's trying to impress her with all of this external stuff. She, however, is looking into the internals. So Aladdin gives it a try. It doesn't work very well. So he goes back to the genie to ask him his opinion. What should he do?
I should have known I couldn't pull off a stupid prince wish.
So move. That's a good move. I can't believe it. I'm losing to a rug.
Genie, I need help.
Sparky, here's the deal. If you want to court the little lady, you gotta be a straight shooter. Do you got it?
What?
Tell her. Dogs.
No way! If Jasmine really found out it was some crummy street rat, she'd laugh at me.
Appreciates a man who can make her laugh. Now, all joking aside, you really want to be yourself.
That's the last thing I want to be. Okay, I'm gonna go see her. I just gotta be smooth, cool, confident. How do I look?
Like a prince.
Genie says to level with her. Tell her the truth, right? But Aladdin instead goes for the impression. It'll be smooth, confident. Here's our second lesson. How do we do this? How do we try to impress others? This past week, I was invited to go give a motivational talk to the senior high varsity football team. Now, I've never been a jock. Shockingly, I know. Actually, I've always been the opposite. Actually, the very opposite. So standing in front of 60 junior and senior athletes made me very nervous. So I asked my wife, how could I go there looking cool, you know? Maybe I'll wear a jersey, roll up my sleeves, put my hat on backwards, you know. And my wife lovingly told me the truth. She said, they'll spot you as a nerd before you're even on stage. Don't try to impress them. Just go be yourself. You still have good things to say. How about you? How do you try to impress people? What you wear, what you drive, your house, your toys, extended weekends, exploits, positions at work. In the Bible, you know what Jesus calls people who try to impress others? Hypocrites. Ooh. Now the word actually means pretender or play actor. They don't do what they do for the acts themselves. They do it to impress others. But then in Matthew 5, Jesus also says, let your light shine for men that they may see your good deeds. So you're supposed to do good deeds in front of other people, they can see them. What's the difference here? Well, the difference is the motivation. Why you're doing them. Jesus says to do good deeds so that others can see them and give your praise to the Father in heaven. And give their praise to your Father in heaven. That slight nuance of why you do it makes all the difference. It's a slippery slope between doing it for you and doing it for God. So the Bible's question, if you want to summarize it all together, is it's, are you trying to impress people or influence people? Impressing others makes them focus on us. Influencing them for Jesus means having them focus on Him. Do what you do so people give glory to God. Aladdin pretends to be someone he's not in order to impress Jasmine. And it doesn't work. We need to be about influencing people and not impressing them so that the praise may go to God. Now, as Aladdin is trying to figure out how to win Jasmine's hand, he gets caught in Jafar's takeover plot. So he has to use his second wish to save himself. Now Aladdin only has one wish left. Now he had promised to use his third wish to free the genie from the lamp. In Aladdin's mind, one wish to get Jasmine, two wishes to get everything else I need, third wish he could then give away. You see, the genie is trapped. He's a slave to the lamp and its masters. And the only way he could ever be free is if someone would use one of their wishes to free him. Now, of course, no one ever had. But Aladdin had promised to. But things had gone wrong. And it was and everything was still in a big mess. Jafar had taken over the world. Aladdin didn't have Jasmine's hand in marriage. And he needed a third wish for himself. What would you do with your third wish? What do you do with your third wish? See, what I mean by that is what do you do with the extra stuff that you have for yourself? You have an amount of income after taxes. How do you spend it? Do you spend all of it on yourself, every third of it? Or do you give some of it away to others? Or time? How do you spend your extra? Your education, your abilities, your talents? Do you use all your wishes, all the resources you have for yourself? Or do you spend some of it on others? That's God's principle. You have enough for yourself, spend the extra on others. Aladdin sticks to his word. He takes grave risks and uses his own ingenuity and resourcefulness and sleight of hand to defeat Jafar. And even then, when he knows it means that he wouldn't be able to marry Jasmine, he still chooses to free the genie. The Bible calls that agape. It's a love that is selfless and sacrificial. Getting someone else their freedom, even when it comes at a cost to you. And the Bible says this is actually what it means to be truly human. Agape. To love as God loves. To be human is not to err or sin or to be selfish. These are all the results of sin. When we are selfish, it's because we are fallen, not because we are human. When ISIS beheaded the last journalist again yesterday, that's not human. That's inhuman. God made us human to love as He loves. Every time we sacrifice ourselves for others, we are truly human. And Jesus shows us what this sacrificial love, this agape, looks like. He was a prince. He could have had everything for himself, and he chose to give it all up to free others, you and me. And then Jesus calls us to follow his example. Do you live only for yourself? Is it all about you? Or do you give up what you have for others? If you use all the wishes for yourself, you're not happy. That's the real plot behind Aladdin's lamp. The users are never happy because you're not human. When you give some away, then you have that inner satisfaction. See how it ends.
Al, no problem. You still got one wish left.
Just say the word and you're a prince again.
But Genie, what about your freedom?
Hey, it's only an eternity of servitude.
This is love.
Al, you're not gonna find another girl like her in a million years. Believe me, I know. I've looked.
Jasmine, I do love you, but I gotta stop pretending to be something I'm not.
I understand.
Genie, I wish for your freedom.
One bona fide prince pedigree coming up. What?
Genie, you're free.
I'm free. Quick. Wish for something outrageous. Say, I want the Nile. Wish for the Nile. Try that.
I wish for the Nile.
No way! Oh, that feels good! Oh, I'm free! I'm free at last! I'm hitting the road. I'm off to see the world.
I'm gonna miss you.
Me too, Al. No matter what anybody says, you'll always be a prince to me.
That's right. You've certainly proven your worth as far as I'm concerned. It's that law that's the problem.
Father?
Well, am I sultan or am I sultan? From this day forth, the princess shall marry whoever she deems worthy.
Him. I choose you, Aladdin.
Call me Al.
You. Come over here, big group hug. Group hug. Ooh.
Do you mind if I kiss the monkey? Ooh, hairball.
Well, I can't do any more damage around this popsicle stand. I'm out of here! Bye-bye, you two crazy lovebirds! Hey, Rugman, ciao! I'm history! No, I'm mythology! Nah, I don't care what I am! I'm free!
A whole new
made you look.
Isn't that nice? It all works out in the end. Aladdin, though not a prince, acts like one and gives sacrificially and out of true love. And the Sultan sees this and decides that the image of a prince is not really what's important. So he changes the law and lets Jasmine pick whomever she sees worthy. God always does this. Makes things work out. He rewards us. Perhaps not always in the way like in the movie, but in God's way. Our lives are blessed, not necessarily in worldly blessings, but we have lots of those too. But always in the ways that we are truly human. And these are the ones that really matter. They give us real meaning and abundant life. The blessing we have from God lasts forever. So spend your third wish on others. Give yourself away. Be truly human. This is what God sees in you. God's making a whole new world, and it includes you. God has a role for you in his plan. God sees you not for what you are or what you've been, but for what you can be. He's calling us. Stop trying to impress others and start influencing others to glorify him. He's calling us to live into our humanity, a whole new world. Let's do it. Let's offer ourselves to God. We're going to pray. As we do, take your hands and turn them up like this as a way for you to offer yourself to God. Let's pray. Oh God, we offer ourselves to you. Make us the persons you see that we can be. Forgive us for trying to impress others. Help us instead to influence them to praise you. Help us to practice agape, living by giving and sacrificing and setting captives free. Oh God, we want to be a part of your new world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.